I'll do this one. But if I have to read another fucking article that says this movie failed because it wasn't led by a female and that's the only reason a movie can make money now, and if they would have just done a Princess Leia movie, then it would have made $300 million. Oh, fuck you. I don't care. I would watch a Millie Bobby Brown Princess Leia movie. Don't get me wrong.
I absolutely would.
But I don't want to hear that this had anything to do with the feminist agenda. Fuck you. It did not.
No.
I quit. What's up? This is Movies on Up. Based on a true story, we are not kidding. I am not kidding that I am seated across from my regular podcast co-host, Mr. Dave Becella.
I'm it.
That's Mr. Dave. He is it. We are Movies on Up. Based on a true story, we're not kidding, is the tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from, you can send your guests to us in one of the following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guests on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or you can tweet at us, @moviesonup, on the Twitter, if you are correct and if we choose you. I was going to say, you'll be it. You'll the winner for the week. You will be it. You will get
we'll
a prize.
Tag the mailman to deliver.
You'll get a prize package. It will involve
something tag stuff, related.
Whatever. I
if
don't
you
know.
Can figure out the movie that
it's tag,
from,
yeah. Basically.
You'll be tagged the winner.
There you go. Coincidentally, or not so coincidentally, comes out in theaters this week, directed by Jeff Tomczyk, starring a group of friends that play an adult game of tag, Jake Johnson, John Hamm, Jeremy Renner, Ed Helms, Hannibal Buress, et al. A lot of funny people. A lot of people I really, really like. We could have gone a lot of ways in this movie. We could have done your top five from the cast of Tag. That would have been funny. Expand that out. You've got Isla Fisher, Rashida Jones, Leslie Bibb. You could easily have picked a lot of movies from that crew. Instead, because this is a true story, we're not kidding, we've decided to do our favorite true movies based on a true story movies. But, and I don't know, I couldn't remember if we had discussed this or if it was just something that I thought of organically. I think we've done biopics.
Yeah. I think we discussed it briefly because I said, personally, I'm not going to do biopics. I'm doing more like this is about a story and not necessarily about a person.
An event.
Yeah, and I think you were kind of already thinking the same thing.
Yeah. On the one hand, I did stay away from biopics. Like Walk the Line, I think, is a good example.
Lincoln, stuff like that. Whereas some of these...
It's here's the person at birth. Here's the thing that makes them memorable, and then here's how they die or whatever.
Yeah, whereas some of... At least maybe like my number five is probably close to a biopic, but it's
I have
not...
two movies that I think you could consider biopics.
And maybe I have a couple too, but they're not so much about the person from life to death. They're about this event that this person was involved
one
in.
One particular snapshot, a very important part of their life.
I hope I'm not stepping on your... Like something like 127 Hours.
It's not.
It's about that dude.
Yes.
But I wouldn't consider
not
that
a
biopic.
Right.
It's about that, I don't know, however long...
Couple
a
hours here or there.
...in that guy's life. Aaron Ralston, I think, is his name. So it's not an Aaron Ralston biopic. It's just a story where Aaron Ralston is the main character. I have some of those.
Maybe one of those is your number five. Let's see if some of those is your number five. That'd be a good place to put it.
My number five, it is the story of Stephen Glass from 2003, directed by Billy Ray, based off a magazine article, Shattered Glass. You know, sometimes they say even a blind squirrel catches a nut. And this is Hayden Christensen's nut.
He wasn't bad in Jumper. That wasn't a good movie. But he was good in this. I give you that.
He was really good in this because he was a clueless doof who just faked his way through everything. So he basically Anakin Skywalker'd in prequels in this movie. He had a good cast around him. Chloe, Rosario, Melanie Lynskey, Hank Azaria, Peter Sarsgaard, Steve Zahn. His cast around him was great. So he could just kind of sleepwalk through this movie. And it fit the character. He's such a terrible actor, but this movie's watchable. It's fascinating because it's just about this reporter who just starts making up stories and the fallback and what happens next. And it's fascinating as somebody who has worked in journalism before. I did work at a newspaper.
And made up stories?
Yeah, I make up stories all the time. It's fascinating to watch. It's a cool story. You see a lot of movies based on magazine articles and stuff, and sometimes they don't come off as good as they should. But I feel like this one is pretty cool, and it was done well. This list, I think, was one of the hardest ever to do because I have 20 also-rans. So I had to narrow down from 25 to 5.
I just gave up at a certain point. I love all these movies. You could ask me to do this list 10 times, and I'd give you 10 different lists.
I would, too. The way I kind of went was like, Heat's technically based on a true story. The Untouchables is kind of based on a true story. Those are movies we've talked about and given a lot of run. I thought, I'm going to try to go for movies that maybe we haven't mentioned or that we won't get to mention until we do our favorite Hayden Christensen movies. I won't be able to do Shattered Glass. So
you're going
to
be in a real world of hurt then.
So my number four, I think we've brought up, but I truly believe my 3 and 2 have only been mentioned once or twice, and then my number one only once or twice before. So I tried to focus on not so much the Argos and the Foxcatchers, but the movies that we haven't really mentioned.
I'm relatively sure that I've talked about all my movies before. Although I did leave off Pain and Gain, because that's all.
See, I thought you would have that.
Of course, because I really do enjoy the shit out of that movie, and it is based off a true story. There are some things that they say it's based off a true story, and I say, that's really loosely based off a story. Like Pearl Harbor is one that, yeah, Pearl Harbor happened, but the rest of that movie?
Yeah, and like The Strangers is, I think, the perfect example, because when The Strangers came out, it really lived on that based on a true story. And the screenwriter in an interview once.
Fargo, based on a true story.
Yeah, the screenwriter of Strangers was like, I was a kid and I was home alone and I heard a knock on the door and I thought, what if it's people coming to get me? And that was it. That was the based on a true story. Somebody knocked on his door and that was the inspiration.
That's what it was based on, the knock.
So based on and inspired by are very, very, very different.
It does make it difficult. So I tried to stay away from like fictional characters that get put in a true story. All of my movies, they all have real people that are kind of the anchor. You want to say that Jordan Belfort would not be like a real person, that can't possibly have happened.
He's too cartoony.
But in The Wolf of Wall Street from Martin Scorsese, Leo plays a guy that, like I said, I want to stay away from biopics. And this movie does take a large portion of his life. We see him kind of get started trading the penny stocks, and then we see where that takes him for a good portion of the rest of his life. And his story is nuts. I will admit to having absolutely no idea what I was getting into when I sat down to watch this. I just knew that it was a very highly touted movie. I like Scorsese. I like DiCaprio. I like Jonah Hill. So that's enough to make me say, all right, well, I don't care what it's about. I'll sit down and watch it. But holy shit, it is nuts. Over the top. Cartoony is a great word, but somehow kind of believable. DiCaprio's playing this douchey straight man in the middle of this cast of miscreants, with Jonah Hill's Donnie Azoff being maybe the most memorable of those. But the rest of the cast is incredible, making huge impacts with relatively little screen time, like Matthew McConaughey, Brenthal. Those guys were amazing. It's not their movie. It's not their show. But when you talk about Matthew McConaughey in this movie, everybody start bounding your chest. You know exactly the scene that we're talking about. This is a guy that, in these kind of movies, they are your narrator. They bring you through everything, so they're kind of the default protagonist, I guess. You don't want to root for Belfort, because he's a scumbag. But at the same time, you'd certainly like to party with him.
And he is a scumbag. Like, absolutely. In real life, he's a piece of
kind of
dirt.
An unabashed scumbag.
Yeah.
And this movie gave us Margot Robbie, so thank you.
Yeah, my number four is one that I've mentioned before, and I mentioned Heat being based on a true story. This is directed by Michael Mann, starring Russell Crowe, Al Pacino, Christopher Plummer, from 1999. It's The Insider. This is the one I believe Russell Crowe won his Oscar for. He was nominated for this, but didn't win until the next year for Gladiator. But if you watch Russell Crowe in this, This is one of those performances that you would watch and think, like, this is one of the best acting performances.
How are you not entertained?
Yeah. Russell Crowe in this movie is so good. Al Pacino is a 60 Minutes director. Russell Crowe is a chemist that works for Big Tobacco. He won't talk, so they pressure him. Christopher Plummer's great as Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes. And it's just about the inside of Big Tobacco and all the moving pieces and the money and the how CBS is involved and how they can get away with everything and how Russell Crowe wants to bring him down, but he's just one guy. It's fascinating. It's a great movie. It's a very Michael Mann movie. It has Michael Mann's look to it. This is Pacino before Pacino was a punchline. This is Pacino being really, really good with Russell Crowe and Christopher Plummer, Philip Baker Hall, Debbie Mazar, Stephen Tobolowsky, Bruce McGill, Gina Gershon, Michael Gambon, Rip Torn. Like, the cast is one of those that's like all these great character actors put in the perfect position to exceed. And everybody's great in this movie. Almost has a documentary feel to it. It's another one based on an article, and it's one of those that you watched. It's like, oh, it's not that dirty, is it? And then you realize, like, oh, it is. They probably tamed some of it down, to be honest. But it's a fascinating movie and a really, really, really good movie.
So if we want to stay away from biopics, my number four is probably, I guess, close. It's biopic-esque. It has a slight hint of biopic. But the problem with true stories is, you know, unless it's a story of a particular event, you're just confronted with the story of a person. Maybe a person within a particular event or a person within a particular part of their life. You know, we could have done biopics. Maybe we have. You could also very easily do a whole list of movies that are war movies, which these wars actually happen. These events happen within the war. You know, you could tell the stories of a battle, like Gettysburg or even Dunkirk. Fictional characters, but Dunkirk itself happened, there you go. Or, you know, you could tell the event from a purely fantastical point of view, like Pearl Harbor, and make it some kind of love triangle, which, you know, whatever. Or you could just tell the particular story of a particular individual as it relates to the particular war in which they fought. My number four and my number three are both like that. My number four, I guess they're in chronological order from both when they were made and when the wars happened. The number four is The Great War. David Lean in 1962 directed Peter O'Toole, Alex Guinness, and Anthony Quinn in Lawrence of Arabia. I am all in for a good old-fashioned Hollywood epic, and that's exactly what the story of T.E. Lawrence is, complete with an overture and great intermission scores that I believe won for best original score the Oscars that year. It's one of the greatest movie scores of all time. I can almost guarantee that even if you've never seen the movie, it's one of those deals that if you hear the theme from Lawrence of Arabia, you're like, gosh, I've heard that somewhere before. Cinephiles will put it in things as an homage or almost even like a little bit of a spoof, but you kind of have to be in on the joke to realize that it is in fact a joke. O'Toole roams a desert uniting Arab tribes to fight the Turks during World War I. He's not a particularly great warrior or necessarily as charismatic as the subject of my number two, but it's the story of an unlikely man, an Englishman, who unites some groups that historically just didn't seem to get along. Wonderfully acted. Peter O'Toole's fantastic. Omar Sharif, both of them were nominated for Academy Awards. And you throw in the adopted screenplay nom that it got. Those are the only three that it lost. Out of 10 noms, it did win 7. Alec Guinness is fantastic. He plays the prince in the movie. And he looked so much like the actual character that when they were filming the movie, people in that country got confused and thought Obi-Wan was actually their ruler. Not unlike people getting confused and thinking that he's Jesus now. But I do love me some Lawrence of Arabia, based on a true story. This does kind of go a little bit even into his life after the war. Spoiler alert, he dies at the very beginning. But it's very much centered on his exploits during World War I.
My number three, it's pretty close to a biopic. It's probably the closest I have on here that's a biopic. But instead of being just a story about Tony Wilson, it follows the whole British invasion thing and the whole Manchester becoming Madchester and that wave of British music from 2002, directed by Michael Winterbottom. starring Steve Coogan. It's 24-hour party, people. This is the movie that introduced me to Steve Coogan. I was a big fan from the beginning. I mean, this is him starting Factory Records with a buddy, signing Joy Division, then following them into New Order. I love New Order, one of my favorite bands. So I liked that part of it. It goes for about 20 years of the dance scene in Manchester and how they had some clubs that basically Studio 54 tried to become like, and just how that music scene with the Sex Pistols and beyond kind of broke into the world, like took over the world, and you had all these bands from a small British town all of a sudden selling records all over the world. It's funny, it's sad, it's visually amazing. It's a very, very fun movie. And again, it's probably closer to a Tony Wilson biopic than anything else on my list. But he was responsible for such a large movement that impacted the music world and the world in general. It follows him through that movement. So I didn't want to consider it a biopic and leave it off. I just love it. It's incredibly entertaining. He's so good. Lenny James is in it, who's great. It's such a good movie filled with just amazing characters. It's one of those that I feel like isn't a super popular movie. It might be hard to find right now, but it's such a good watch. If you find yourself in a position to watch it, if nothing else, it's extremely entertaining.
My number three goes from World War One to World War Two. Again, this one, it's not really a biopic, but it is about the exploits of a man during World War Two, and it is a man that we have all at least heard the name of, even if you don't know the story of Patton. We'll learn about it in Franklin Schaffner's 1970 film starring George C. Scott and Carl Malden. Scott's portrayal of Patton paints him as basically the manliest motherfucker that ever walked the earth, and precisely the man you would want to lead the Allied forces against the Nazis. If you're unsure whether or not you should stand for the national anthem, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I defy you to watch the first 5 minutes of Patton and not want to just run down the street yelling USA, USA. The man was not without his flaws, some of which are shown in the movie. But Schaffner, working from a screenplay co-written by Francis Ford Coppola, did a great job in showing a character that was larger than life, a guy that was basically a superhero to his troops. They were able to portray him as somebody that actually lived up to that billing. It's not a guy whose deeds were necessarily overblown, but just the shit he did. There's a particular scene in Patton, and I don't know, like, sometimes it's hard to separate myth from fact with some of these characters. I don't know if this actually happened, but there's a scene where the city he's in is being bombed. So he decides that the best thing for basically the leader of the Allied forces to do is to go out in the middle of the street, pull out his sidearm, and start shooting at the airplanes as if I'm going to be able to take this plane down. Like, spoiler alert, it doesn't work because he's standing on the ground shooting a revolver at an airplane. This isn't Tim Burton's Batman. That shit's not going to work. But because he was who he was and he thought that if I do it, it will work, maybe that's what allowed him to be as prolific of a commander as he was. But George C. Scott is just a fantastic actor that I don't want to say has been lost to history, because I don't believe that that's true. But if you go back and watch things like this or Dr. Strangelove, I mean, he was such a force of nature on the screen that I think he was a perfect guy to play an individual that was such a force of nature in life.
My number two, I know it was in my top 10 movies the year it came out, and I think we were doing the podcast at that time. It might have been the year before the podcast came out. It's listed as 2011, but it's an Australian release. It is The Snowtown Murders, or Snowtown, as it has been distributed as, directed by Justin Kurzel, starring Lucas Pitaway and Daniel Henshall. And I mentioned earlier Russell Crowe in The Insider is one of this amazing acting performances. Henshall is like that too, but when I watched this movie, you know, it's a smaller Australian movie. I didn't know any of these actors from anywhere, so I wasn't familiar with Henshall. The way it's shot and the way this movie moves is it feels almost like a documentary, and he is so scary and believable. that it's incredible to watch. It's not an easy movie to watch. Pittaway stars as Jamie, a boy who's molested and raped by his brother and neighbor. They live with their mom, and then all of a sudden John Bunning comes in, played by Henshaw, who's this charismatic, likable guy. He's lovable around the mom, and then when the mom's not around, he takes Jamie under his wing and kind of shows him that he's not this great person, and that in reality he is Australia's most vicious serial killer. And it kind of builds up to that, Jamie's realization that this guy that he's viewing as kind of a father figure, you know, as people start disappearing and stuff, he starts to realize like, oh, not good. So it's really fascinating. It's one of those that's a bit of a slow burn, but the moments that are there are hit so succinctly. Like, they're very hard moments, and they're done so brutally and so raw that it does feel like you're intruding and that you're seeing stuff that you shouldn't see and you don't want to see, but you feel like you need to report it to somebody because you did see it. It's a great movie, and I really thought Henshaw would blow up and be this huge actor after this, but he hasn't really made it overseas yet. He's been in stuff over there, but hasn't had like a breakout role. But if you watch his performance in this, he's so believable, is just this evil serial killer next door, and it's absolutely incredibly fascinating. It's such a good movie with great performances.
My number two is also a movie that features some great performances, and it's not a super easy watch. The subject matter can certainly make you feel uncomfortable. It is John Mark Vallée's Dallas Buyers Club from 2013, starring Matthew McConaughey, Jared Leto, and Jennifer Garner. This movie is just phenomenally acted. I mean, I can appreciate the story and even the irony within the life of McConaughey's Ron Woodruff. And with a couple other actors, maybe I would have even been able to like the movie just as much. But to me, the star of the movie is absolutely the actors. Like I said, it's not an easy watch. You have some small part, like a medicinal Robin Hood mixed with a Tony Montana with a heart of gold, maybe. But McConaughey and Jared Leto give such amazing performances that there's no way for me to imagine anybody else that year walking out with the acting noms. This was one very early on in the show when we had heard what kind of a character McConaughey, or specifically Woodruff, was. Oh, this is an Oscar movie. He's going to win an Oscar for it. All he has to do is just be competent. This is not a case of him just checking the right boxes. He earned the shit out of that award, and so did Jared Leto. There are times when movies will win multiple acting awards. I don't know of a time that it was ever more deserved than with this movie specifically. And yes, it is based off a true story, you know, Woodruff running Mexican medication back for AIDS patients. But to me, and maybe uniquely on my list, this movie, the story does take a backseat to the performances. I don't want to say they overshadowed the actual story, the true story aspect of it, but I think they really bring it home that these are real people, and goddamn, those two were just incredible to watch.
My number one is another one that, not an easy watch, but it's incredibly well acted, incredibly well directed. I think it holds such a high spot because it is, a lot of times you see a movie based on a true story and it's something maybe you've heard of and you don't know the details of, or it's a story you don't know anything about. This was a case that I was very familiar with, that I had followed up on. I remember it happening. I had watched things on it. I'd read up on it. It is from 2012, written and directed by Craig Zobel, starring Ann Dowd and Dreama Walker. It's Compliance. It's about the phone scam strip search hacker where Ann Dowd's a manager at a McDonald's, quote unquote, gets a random phone call that one of the girl employees had stolen from a customer, which is Dreama Walker. The man on the phone claims to be police. They need to bring Dreama Walker into the back room and strip search her before the police can come, and then do a whole lot of other stuff. And it's a fascinating, incredibly hard to watch story, and almost hard to believe, because as it goes on, you're thinking, oh, this is embellished, this is ridiculous, like nobody is that stupid. these people were.
And it happened multiple times.
Yeah, this is just the main biggest...
The story, the one that got broke.
Yeah, and this poor girl went through all of this. She had to strip in front of people. She ended up giving a blowjob to the manager's boyfriend. And the movie goes through all that. And it's one of those that, you know, had I not known the story, maybe I watch it and think, like, this is stupid. Nobody's this dumb. It's not going to go this far. The dude isn't going to believe a cop telling him to make her give him a blowjob and then she's not going to do it. It did. All of this happened. And it was so on point. And I think that's why I was so into it, because I was so familiar with the case. So I did know that, like, oh, yeah, that's stupid. But that's what happened. And the best shot at the end is when they drive to the police station, and it's one continuous shot of leaving the parking lot and driving to the police station. It's just like a 90-second or 2-minute shot to show you how close the police station is. But yet this incident went on for hours as they waited for police to get there. And it had been done many times. Pat Healy is great as the voice. Pat Healy, he's on camera like only once or twice, but he's really, really good as the voice on the phone. Ann Dowd, I believe Ann Dowd's one of the best actresses working right now, and this is her showcasing all of it. She is so damn good in this movie. And Drema Walker, I'm kind of shocked, isn't a bigger star now. She was stuck on that show for a little bit, but Ritter has carried.
Yeah, she did okay.
Kristen Ritter has come out on top, but like Drema Walker, I'm just kind of shocked. She's so good in this movie. She has that innocence and that obedience, and that's really all it is it's about power and obedience and order and compliance. So the name is perfect. It's such a good movie, but it is a hard watch, and it is one of those where if you don't know the story, maybe it's a bit unbelievable, because it is an unbelievable story, and it was done so well and so accurately that...
She's done a lot of TV. I mean, she was on The Good Wife for a while.
Okay, see, I know.
She was on Doubt, and she's in Brockmire. So, like, I mean, that...
Okay.
She's working, and
she's
it's good
stuff.
She's not
on stuff I watch.
Yeah, yeah, she's just not working on the screen, although she was... I mean, that's
she's really
that's
good
not
in this
an
movie.
Easy role to do.
No. Either of them.
That's
very
true.
Especially the boyfriend who comes in later. It's such a good movie, though. It's so good, and they're so good, especially Dowd.
It's one that you feel like you need to report as well, or that you should be reported for watching it. My number one, really, I mean, when it comes to movies about a true story, I mean, to me, there was never any question of what was going to be my number one. I believe it's the best example of a lot of things. It is the best Martin Scorsese movie. I've already had one of those on the list. Bookended the list with Scorsese movies. It's the best movie about organized crime, and that is including The Godfather. I don't really even think that's a hot take, and I think it is the best movie based on a true story, and that is the story of Henry Hill, played by Ray Liotta in 1990's The Goodfellas, starring The Goodfellas, Robert De Niro, and Joe Pesci. Like Wolf of Wall Street, Henry Hill's not a great guy, but he is our guide for his own journey through the mob. And I do think that this is a perfect movie. It's paced wonderfully, featuring a ton of the most memorable and most spoofed scenes in movie history. And it's acted by folks that seem to have been put on this earth to play the characters that they played. Truthfully, I can find no fault in this movie. It's fantastic. It's one that, you know, I can put on at any point. It's a remote killer. The Godfather, it does have a great story. It's an engrossing story that borrows a lot from real events. But this story of Henry Hill, I think, is kind of a well-known story. It's big news that there's a mob stoolie. So this guy, who is a bad dude, his story, I think, just becomes so interesting. It's things that we always thought we knew about the mob, but we're sort of getting an inside look at something that we think that we ought not to be looking at. I mean, Scorsese is a fantastic director, and he's made a lot of wonderful movies. If we wanted to, or if I wanted to, it would have been easy to put down 5 Martin Scorsese movies based on a true story, and they all would have been phenomenal. I left movies off that would shock you that, oh, what the hell? How is that? But I didn't want it to be 5 Martin Scorsese movies, but I knew I had to put Goodfellas on because it is, I mean, I believe it is the definitive mob movie. about the real fucking mob.
Yeah. Did you have any also-rans?
I didn't see a point in listing also-rans. I really didn't. I mean, Glory. I like that movie a lot. Yeah. Based on a true story, not a biopic. That could have worked.
I had a lot. Some of the tougher ones to
Raging
leave.
Raging Bull is kind of a biopic.
Like Hunting Party. It was a few years of Social Network, 127. Alpha Dog was hard to leave off. For that story, I thought it was done pretty well. I have this thing for Alive.
Yeah.
I have a lot of good memories with Alive.
You'd be the only
one. Weird. Quiz Show, I think, is so good.
Yeah.
The Impossible. I left off because I thought maybe you'd have it, or else that probably would have snuck into my top five because that gave us Tom Holland and given a phenomenal performance.
Slumdog.
I didn't have Slumdog. I had Heavenly Creatures from Peter Jackson, Untouchable, Zero Dark Thirty, Straight Outta Compton, True Story, Argo. All the President's Men was really hard to leave off because I think that's one of the best. Foxcatcher, League of Their Own, and Munich. And then I don't like the movie, but I grew up in Indiana, so I feel like I have to say Hoosiers.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, A League of Their Own was one that's like, all right, I'm not putting on there. Yes, that league existed. But Jimmy Dugan's not a guy. To me, that was like Pearl Harbor. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
I like it a lot, but I wasn't buying it for a true story.
I did a bonus list as well.
A what?
A bonus list.
There you go.
Of disappointing ones. Basically, if Compliance sucked, stories that I like.
All right, I see.
Yeah, stories that I was into that got movies that weren't good. They're not in any order. Devil's Not. The one with Colin Firth about the West Memphis Three. Very disappointing. That's such a great story. That's such a fascinating case. That movie was not good. Stuck, the one with where the person hits the car and they get stuck in the windshield and they leave them in their garage to die. It's a terrifying story. Turned into like a comedy starring Mina Suvari. Domino? I really wanted to like that movie.
I don't mind it.
But it's...
Maybe it's disappointing.
It should have been so much better. I think her story is fascinating. It's not a bad movie for a Keira Knightley, Tony Scott action movie, but I feel like they didn't do enough with the actual true story part of it. Open Water, because there's a lot more fascinating to that. I'm still convinced those people faked their death. I think there's so much mystery involving their disappearance that just 90 minutes of just them in the water I think is not compelling. And then this one is very one of those more inspired by, but 30 minutes or less with Jesse Eisenberg and Aziz. That story that it's inspired by with the here's pizza delivery guy, you have a bomb around your neck, go rob a bank. That is one of the most compelling, interesting stories. And just recently Netflix put up
Evil Genius.
If you don't know about the pizza bombing story, watch Evil Genius on Netflix. It's only 4 episodes. I've known about that. I remember that happening, and I've followed up on it since. I learned a lot more about it. Like, there's a lot more to it than I knew in Evil Genius. It's done. I've said fascinating so many times this episode, but whatever. I don't care. Those are just ones that I feel like had great material. And 21. I don't think I said 21. That's an awesome book. But they whitewashed it and just turned it into something that the book wasn't. Just about a bunch of really smart kids learning how to game the system in Vegas. And they turned it into a bad Jim Sturgess movie. There's so much good that can be had from based on true stories because you are grounding it in that reality. And I think when you mess with the tone too much, like 30 minutes or less or Stuck, it kind of screws with it.
Yeah, there's not much funny about the pizza bombing thing, but yeah. Hopefully you'll be fascinated with our next week's episode. We had it in mind to do It Follows. Under the Silver Lake was supposed to come out. It got pushed back
6 months.
Quite a while.
And we actually caught it.
Yeah. So instead, Hotel Artemis is out and Jurassic World, both featuring Jeff Goldblum. So we thought it might be a good time to do our favorite Jeff Goldblum movies, which is one of those ones that never would have occurred to me. But like, yeah, what the hell? Why not?
It was one of those I saw. We've had it before where we've decided an episode based on a movie that ends up moving.
And we still do the movie anyway.
Sometimes it's after we've recorded it, or sometimes we just don't feel like coming up with something else. I was excited to watch It Follows again,
yeah.
But I saw that we had time, and it was 6 months, so it's like we can come back to that. And with Jurassic World coming
Fallen
out.
Fallen Kingdom.
I figured, hey, how's Goldblum? So I threw it out there and thought it'd be fun.
And he's had a decent run over the past.
Especially the past couple of years. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Unless that movie, well, I don't think either of those are getting pushed back. So that'll be our next week's episode. Stop back next week to see what our five favorite Goldblum movies are. But until then,
keep it up.